Well, let's begin in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. It is impossible to hear the story of Jesus without being impressed that his story contains so many references to women. In Matthew chapter 27, Jesus dies on the cross. In verse 54, when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened after Jesus died, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." The Holy Spirit immediately tells us that many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. In verses 57 through 60, we read of Joseph of Arimathea requesting the body of Jesus for burial. In verse 61, the Spirit tells us that Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. Verses 62 through 66 speak to the fact that Pilate set a guard at the tomb of Jesus. Then in chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, we read, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him.'" The angel says in verse 7, "Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, verse 9, Jesus met them. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, saying to them, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." To know Jesus, which is our theme for the year, is to know that women are prominent in his life and ministry and eternal purpose. On this August 25th of 2019, as we consider the membership of the Annandale Church, there are currently more women members of our local church family than there are men. For that reason, and because of where the readings for this week fell, I thought it was appropriate to consider Jesus and women, to consider the women in his life and in his ministry in the context of God's eternal purpose, for the purpose of bringing glory and honor and praise to our God, and to communicate to our sisters in Christ here this morning how important you are to each and every one of us, but above all else, how important you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. By comparison to other literary works of Jesus' time, There is a high number of references to women in the gospel accounts of Jesus' life on earth. It is highly unusual when we read the first page of Matthew's gospel, which records one of the genealogies of Jesus, to read about women. It was very uncommon for women to find their names in genealogies of the first century. But when we look at Jesus' genealogy, we see Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba. We can go back to the Genesis account and read about Tamar, and to the days of Joshua and read about Rahab, and the days of the judges and read about Ruth, and the days of King David and read about Bathsheba. It is from the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David that this Jesus was born of a woman, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the significance of which we have been considering on Wednesday nights as we studied Galatians, and on the Lord's Day as we studied the book of Hebrews. Our Lord and Savior had to be made like unto His brethren, and part of that was being born of a woman. In Luke's account, in chapter 1, we read about the angel Gabriel going to Jesus' mother Mary and communicating to her that something unique in all of human history was about to happen to her. And chronologically speaking, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the first to believe, to accept, and to receive Jesus as He is in truth the Son of God. Jesus was her firstborn, but we read of brothers, plural, and sisters, plural, that belonged to Joseph and Mary, that would have been Jesus' brothers, that would have been Jesus' sisters. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, in just a moment, we'll turn and read those verses together, but it is significant that among Jesus' disciples, plural, there were men and women, which was highly unusual in the first century. Jesus didn't just have a mother, He didn't just have sisters, He didn't just have women who were choosing to accept Him as their rabbi, as their master, as their teacher, but Jesus was friends with women. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were friends of Jesus, friends that He loved like family. Jesus used women in His parables, and in His teaching, He used women as models of faith and as models of His work. There are only two times in which Jesus refers to great faith, and one of those times is in reference to a Gentile woman of whom He said, "She has such great faith." Such great faith that He had not even seen among His Jewish sisters or His Jewish brothers, for that matter. It was highly unusual for women to come and to sit at the feet of a rabbi publicly in the first century, but Jesus not only taught women publicly, but He taught women privately in that beautiful scene in Luke, the 10th chapter, and in verses 38 through 42, in which Mary chose the good part and Martha got her name repeated twice. Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10, verse 38. And as He went about doing good, He went about doing good to women and for women and because of women. He blessed women in His teaching and in His ministry and in His healings. In Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 17, being moved with compassion, He gave the widow of Nain her son back as He raised him from the dead. And then from our reading this morning from Matthew chapters 27 and 28, Jesus first appeared to women after His resurrection. As we consider Jesus' relationships with women this morning, I want to communicate to our sisters, number one, you are special. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, as we consider the teachings of Jesus, in response to a question that was asked of him, there are a number of lessons that we could learn from this text, from the question, from the answers, but I want you to see how special females are to Jesus. In the red letter edition of the Gospel of Matthew, the words of Jesus. But I want you to see that as Jesus says these words in Matthew 19, 4, 5, and 6, that what Jesus is doing here is he is quoting revelation that was given to us from the beginning. What is true in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6 has been true from the beginning. This is literally depending upon the size of the font that your Bible has been translated into. This is page 1. This is page 1 and page 2. From the beginning, the true and living God, the eternal Spirit who makes His first appearance in Genesis 1 verse 2, and the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus of Nazareth, has communicated to those who are female, you are special. Matthew 19 verse 4. In response to the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus' response to that question, in a word, is no. And it has been no from the beginning. Amen. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be, and there was, and it was good. And then in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. From the beginning, females, along with males, have been created in the image of God. Females share in the likeness of God. They have kinship to Him. They resemble Him in personality and in purity and in power. There is reason and intellect and will and emotion that God has granted to males and females that He did not grant to any other part of His creation that was good. From the beginning, it has been God's will that males and females would treat each other with respect. What is happening in Matthew, the 19th chapter, that prompts these Pharisees to ask Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? In Malachi, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 14, there were those in Malachi's day who were saying, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your covenant, with whom you have dealt treacherously. What is happening in the first century in Matthew 19:9 that prompts this question? There were males who were dealing treacherously with females. And Jesus says, from the beginning, it is not so. The way you view females must begin with a reading and an understanding of page 1 of God's revelation. Page 2, Genesis 2, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What has God done from the beginning? He has communicated to females that they are special, and number two, that they are valued. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and in verses 46 through 50, we might be tempted, as I think I did when we read Matthew chapter 12 together earlier this year, to just sort of gloss over what Jesus is saying, because we're familiar with women being disciples. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 46, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. And notice what Jesus says in verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. When Jesus stretched out his hand toward his disciples, plural, what you had in that crowd of folks was a mixed bag of males and females, and Jesus drew attention to them all and specifically singled out the women in verse 50 when he referred to sister and mother. Beloved, when we consider the current membership of the Annandale Church this morning, there are more women among our multitude than there are men, and you are valued. Someone might argue that Jesus was being disrespectful to his mother here. No, he wasn't. He was making a point. A point that would have communicated to his mom how special she really was, and how special his sisters were, and how valued she was, and how valued Jesus' physical sisters are in truth. From the beginning, God has called his people to honor their fathers and their mothers. In John, the 19th chapter, as we consider the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross, as we consider how difficult it would have been in the excruciating pain that Jesus was in as he was being crucified after he had been scourged, as Jesus is drinking the cup of God's wrath, as we contemplate the difficulty that Jesus would have had in speaking, in raising himself up, pushing himself up, so that he would have the strength and the breath to speak. This is one of the seven things that he said from the cross. John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. Jesus honored his mother in life, in death, in resurrection, in his ascension, in his exaltation as our great high priest, as our mediator, as our Savior. He honored women. He honored his mother. when you consider Jesus' relationships with women, you learn that you are respected. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount that we spent the first quarter together considering on Wednesday nights, or Sunday morning, whichever one it was, been a few months. Which one was it? Yeah, Wednesday night. Watch how Jesus exalts women and communicates respect to women. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We believe this morning that Jesus was tempted in all points like unto as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, that means that Jesus did not sin. Matthew 5, verse 28. By looking at a woman to lust for her. Not only did he not do that, he called us not to do it either. And so some of us like to play little games. And the little game that we like to play with Jesus when it comes to a hard command like verse 28 is to talk about how, well, I just can't help it. And so Jesus essentially says to those of us who want to play games, okay, well, let's play. And so here's what Jesus says to us in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And you want to keep playing? I'm done after verse 29. Now, I am the sort of fellow that likes to play, but now I'm done now. But to emphasize the point, right? For folks like me who want to play, with the commands and soften the commands. And conform the commands to my image instead of to the image of God, which they are in truth a reflection of Him and not me. A reflection of perfection, not imperfection. A reflection of holiness, not immorality. Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that for one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Do you know what they were doing in Jesus' day? Same thing they were doing in Malachi's day. They were dealing treacherously with their wives. I'm going to level up now. And so now that I have the opportunity to level up, I'm just going to give you a certificate of divorce and I'm going to put you away and I'm going to be done with you and I'm going to level up. That was never the point. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, the point was never, you can put your wife away for any reason whatsoever that you feel like you want to put her away, just so long as you give her a certificate of divorce. From the beginning, it was not so. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. What is Jesus doing in the mountain message, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the greatest sermon, in my opinion, that has ever been preached? The constitution of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the Magna Carta of our relationship to God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What is Jesus doing in these verses? He is defending the value of women. He is defending their rights. He is respecting them as persons and not as objects. Not as sexual objects, not as objects to just be disregarded if you find a better one. When you look at Jesus' relationships with women, what you come to see is that you are loved by Him. In John the 11th chapter and in verse 5, we have the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and it begins with his death, and it begins with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And it begins in verse 3 with the sisters saying to him, "Lord, behold he whom you love." And the word they use there, verse 3, is our word for brotherly love. "Lord, behold him whom you love like a brother, he is sick." And the Spirit tells us in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha, and the word there is not to love like a sister. The word is agape, which the Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 is the greatest of these. Of all the loves that the Greeks had to communicate different aspects of the concept of love, the one the Spirit used to describe how Jesus felt about Martha and her sister Mary was the greatest of these. Jesus had agape for Martha. To my sisters in Christ this morning, I would encourage you, do not allow time or culture or society to determine your worth. Find your worth in Him. When you look for your worth in Jesus, what you will find in Him is love. Jesus loves you. Wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord, Ephesians 5 verse 22. But the model of that relationship is the perfect husband. The perfect husband who always thinks the right thoughts towards his wife. The perfect husband who always says the right things, who always behaves in the right way. Which came first, Adam and Eve or Christ in the church? Which came first, Christ in the church or marriage? Jesus is the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, and it is God's will that Jesus have a bride, and that that bride would live with Him for all of eternity. And as a copy, as a type, as a shadow, God created marriage to help us to see the type of relationship that Jesus longs to have with His church. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. How much does Jesus love you? Look to Calvary. Look to the cross. He is dying for you. And He is dying for you that He might sanctify you and cleanse you. And the word that He uses to describe you in verse 26 is feminine in nature, that He might sanctify and cleanse her, His church, with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. For this reason, echoing again, quoting again Genesis the second chapter, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. Genesis 2:24 was always about Christ in the church. Adam and Eve is a type of and shadow of the relationship between Christ and the church. It's a great mystery. But I speak concerning this relationship that God intends to begin in time to find itself fulfilled in eternity where it will never end. But we will always be with the Lord. Nevertheless, until He comes, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You are special. You are valued. You are honored. You are respected. You are loved in Christ Jesus. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 3, he is the only Gospel writer who, when he quotes Isaiah the 40th chapter, he includes the words that are in our verse 6. When you look at the other quotations of Isaiah 40 in the Gospels, they don't include what Luke includes in Luke 3 verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What is Luke's emphasis in his gospel? His emphasis is on the truth that the gospel was never intended to only be good news for the Jews, to only be good news for Jewish men. That it was always intended from eternity to be good news for everyone, for every gender, for every ethnicity, for every nationality, for every profession, for every economic status that a person might find themselves, that Jesus was going to die on a cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of all who would believe. All flesh shall see the salvation of God, including women. There are a number of references to women in the Gospel of Luke that are unique to the Gospel of Luke. What is the point of him including those events in Jesus' life in his Gospel? To communicate that the Gospel is for all flesh. In Luke the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 1, as Jesus has gone through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, the 12 are with him. The 12 apostles that Jesus chose were men. But the 12 men whom he called to be apostles are not the only folks who are mentioned in Luke 8, 1 through 3. Immediately after the 12 are mentioned, we find this reference to certain women. There were also certain women who had been healed with evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna and Susanna, and many others who, watch this, provided, served, ministered from their own substance, from their own possessions. The word that is translated provided in the New King James translation of Luke 8 verse 3 is the same word in Matthew 20 verse 28 and Mark chapter 10 verse 45, in which Jesus communicates to James and John, the sons of thunder, and to Salome, their mom, that greatness in the kingdom is service. And if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you accept the role that the king gives you and you fulfill the responsibilities that go along with that role. You be a servant to everyone. You be a slave to everyone. And you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. And what we have in Luke 8 verses 2 and 3 are names of women who were great in Jesus' life. And you too can be great in His life today by faith, by accepting your role and fulfilling your responsibilities and recognizing, as we are studying together from the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights, that it makes no difference whether you are a male or a female. You are a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 27, if you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe and are baptized, if you believe and you are born again, if you are baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, and here's what happens when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It makes no difference after that fact whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Greek. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a slave or whether you are free. It doesn't make any difference whether you are a male or whether you are a female. Because when someone obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who they are or no matter where they are from, they become one in Christ Jesus. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. My work, my beloved sisters, is not more important than yours. We are one in Him. And your service matters. You accept your role. You fulfill your responsibilities. And when this life is over, you will behold the face of the One whom from the beginning has seen you as being special, has valued you from the beginning, has honored you from the beginning, has respected you from the beginning, who has loved you from the beginning, so that when you meet your end, you might have Him. If you're subject to the gospel, we encourage you to come to the God who is so good while we stand and while we sing.